Let's do it. Okay. I guess I kind of took it in my hand, so I'm gonna roll for description and face. You are not gonna believe this.
What?
So I rolled 2d10 for both, one for description and one for fate. For both of them, I rolled 10.
Wow.
Complicated mech indeed.
A very complicated mech. On description, I'm gonna roll 10. Oh. Ooh, that's really cool and really good. I like that. Let's look at the fate. Oops, that fell off. Ooh, oh, you know what? That makes so much sense. Okay, cool. So this journey takes us north of the creek, not quite into the wastelands, but pretty near it, where a lot of the foliage starts to die out. We get a lot more like kind of open air. There's not a lot of trees, but it's still kind of hilly and mountainous where it is. And I think it's right past the breaking the tree line, right before everything mostly, not flat lands, but just kind of like plains, hills and mountainous valley and kind of. And along the edge of a cliffside, kind of facing out towards like the break in the tree, there is this enormous metallic body half built into the cliffside. You can see in one of on one of its shoulders, arm completely fallen off, lying in the ground. It is segmented and it's like the kind of shape of it almost looks crystalline in a way, where it's sharp edges, very few like rounded parts, almost like polygonal in a way. And it's like, it definitely has been like, you know, torn open and like scrapped over the decades that it's been here, but it feels oddly whole still. Almost in a way as if no matter what parts that you would take from it, it would still kind of look like it is all that it is supposed to be. And its body is not in the same kind of crystalline form, but it is more, it's more rounded. And it has faded depictions and like kind of like scrawlings along it from graffiti and stuff that people have left over, you know, who knows how long. You can also see where it is like part of the way through a process of having that stuff cleaned off, as if people have been coming here to kind of maintain and take care of it. I think the torso of this mech that is like kind of peeking out of the cliffside still here, it's rounded. It has kind of detailings of what looks like armament or armor that is just really detail on the body, since it's entirely like made of metal. And I think its head, despite the fact that the mech seems to not be functioning, is still there, floating above the torso body. And I'm almost imagining the head being in a semi, like not quite a diamond, almost like as if you started to build out the diamond from the bottom and then it began to hollow out at the top. And so it's like kind of like an open faced, like headed diamond. And there's like just a glow, like a dull, it's not glowing anymore, but there's a time where this kind of sphere in the diamond would have been glowing, but it is just a dull, cracked floating sphere within this floating diamond head. And I think all of us kind of know of this place, just like a little bit, right? Where this is a place that supposed Astran, like, remnants of the Kingdom of Astra who are still left on Earth post-war, where they come and they see this as like a last, like, it, at least within this area, this was an Astran mech. This is the divine bodies they built in order to allow themselves to become, in some kind of ideology, become closer to the stars. And it is not functioning, but even when it's not functioning, it still feels grand and magnificent in a way that is startling for some, and probably for kids, like almost like awe-inspiring of like, this is incredible. And this is, yeah, this is the place that we come to.
Whoa. Are we here?
This has got to be it, right? This is the biggest Astran mech I know of.
It's, yeah, right. It's, I mean, it's still mostly there.
Yeah.
You said an Astran mech.
Yeah.
Please, describe it to me.
Well, it's missing an arm, but it's maybe missing two arms, but the one arm is like inside of a cliff, but the other one is, it's like this weird, like, a diamond, it's like weirdly like sharp, I guess. Its hand kind of is like broken into like pieces. It's got like a big floaty diamond head, cool armor. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Is that it? Is your guy? Is that your thing?
I don't. You described it as if it was like a diamond. Is there a core or a sphere in the center?
Yeah. It's kind of like it's like a sphere.
I do not believe this is mine, but I do know what it is.
What is it?
This was a celestial throne. It was one of the mechs that I believe that they were still working on when I left. I don't remember them finishing those. I have not asked this, but how long has it been since the end of the war?
I think I look back at the other two. I don't, like 40-ish years, right? It's been a
while.
Right. I like, apologize. Like, I should have. Of course, you don't know exactly.
I think teacher said the war started like 150 years ago.
Yeah.
150.
And it was 101 years. So that's, it starts like counting on their hands.
That means that I am over 100 years old. Well, over 100.
Wow. Oh. So you died fast.
Okay. Well, let's.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This was a long war. It was a great conflict. I lost many friends, loved ones.
I'm sorry.
No, I. Again. My apologies. You are a child. I should not expect you to understand the nature of war. I am glad that you know peace. Take it that losing the war was very hard on you and yours.
I'm gonna, like, yeah, make a little shushing noise to the other two. Be like, this is kind of funny. Like, let him roll with that.
You know, the Celestial Throne was meant to be piloted by more than one pilot. It would, in theory, I was not much of a scientist. I don't really know how it works, but in theory, they were supposed to load in multiple pilots to work in perfect tandem to control the entire device as if they were one. Pretty cool, right?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings, Bug, M?
Why do you want to know?
It's funny, but I find myself remembering my children. Levity and Moments. They were about your age.
Like 100 years ago?
Yes, they were about your age, 110 years ago. So, yes, they are very likely not children anymore.
Man, I'm sorry, Box. That's kind of rough.
Again, I am a full person in here. My name is Flix. I was 43. I fought in the 2nd Ionian Battalion, the battalion, the Ferrata Division. I'm from Io. You might have heard of it. It's an ice planet. No?
Yeah, well, I mean, yes.
How far you are from the Imperial Core, from the capital, it's very likely that education just has not gotten up here. But don't worry. In time, I'm sure that the Kingdom of Astra will come in and help you recover.
He is right. Our middle school is not very good.
I want you to know that I was about to make up a teacher name, and I almost said Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter. Yeah, it's already said. I said it. It has to be the name now. Mr. Potter does his best, all right? We don't have a lot of funding.
You still use money. Don't worry. Astra will clean that right up. The future's crypto.
truly, the evil empire. They were the baddies.
I forgot that crypto existed in this world.
Once your school is on the blockchain, it'll all fix itself.
Yeah, sure.
I like the world building detail where either we don't know, which is reasonable, like what the fuck is crypto, or the three of us, one of the few things we have been schooled in is like anti-crypto propaganda. Oh, okay. No, he's definitely not from
the bad guy.
Yes. So, fuck crypto.
Bug definitely has heard. Basically, I immediately thought of the Dutch tulip bubble.
How we learned
about like some sort of weird collapse, but like it was definitely taught in like a how could anyone be this silly and think that numbers had values? Like clearly very oversimplified in a propaganda way, but yeah, like we definitely like heard about a disaster and we're just like, oh, maybe that one doesn't work out too good actually.
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think. We probably are aware of some active cryptocurrency. Because there are quite a few satellite colonies that have adopted, I think at this point, most of them have adopted some form of cryptocurrency, tragically. I don't think Earth does. I think Earth is, I think, because most of the megacorps that use them aren't on our planet anymore.
Y'all are on the superior trade and barter system of, hey, I don't want you to suffer over there, person. So you want some food and then just get me back later?
It's called the sheep standard.
The sheep
standard. And it's actually very, very good, very stable.
There's one perfect sheep that exists somewhere that we all go, okay, all sheep's quality and worth are based off of that sheep.
Yeah. It is the perfect median sheep.
Right.
Where it is exactly in the middle of all sheep. And it's a very specific bloodline that's controlled by guilds. It's very intense.
It's the sheep. If the sheep line ever dies out, then we move to a fiat currency and the cycle starts anew.
Okay, we are aware now that
we
have said this, so now it is canon and in praise in the static. I'm okay with this.
All right.
It's probably a form of trade and currency that only exists within the people that
get to the green double. Dumb valley where it's like,
this that's one why weird technology desert. Isn't
here. It's because everyone's like, those guys worship sheep or something.
Just nobody asks the question to even figure out what it is. Just like, listen.
They're just when they start talking about the sheep,
we just leave.
Don't go where the sheeple live.
All right, well, that's the name of them.
That's the name of the sheeple.
Unfortunately, this is not my machine.
No.
Is there, it's a long shot, but is there anything nearby? If you are able to, safely, if you were able to find a hatch near the lower half of the body, there might be a way to send out a beacon to ping other Astran mechs in the area, something like that.
That sounds great. That's what we want, right?
The level of excitement is making me think you are not going to do this safely. I would like to reiterate, I do not want you to climb up into a dangerous...
It's too late. It's happening.
You actually left already. I don't think you heard any of what you just said. I'm really sorry.
Oh.
Or they left, excuse me.
I am very bad at this. I am so sorry.
Scrambling up.
Bug's gonna, like, from clambering, just sort of shout, where's the hatch again?
Look at the base of the body, the base of the torso. If it were a human body, it would be like the groin, but I don't know how mature.
Oh, I think it's over there. Bug, it's over there.
Just look for a panel. There should be a panel. There should be a button. There should be a keypad.
Marcel's just, like, holding the box up.
So just holding me up.
Yeah. Can you find a big stick so I can poke this button?
Oh, I got you. And we'll hop down, book it to the woods, to the woods again. And then sprint all the way back.
Why is there so much clambering and banging? I thought, what is happening?
And we'll toss. We'll javelin toss it.
Oh god. That's how bug
Thanks,
dies.
Accident. Bug's gonna catch it and almost fall, but not. And then sort of start swinging it at the hatch button.
I think when you hit that button, it'll point in whatever direction you want the next mech to be.
Yeah.
Cool. Do we want to draw this one on the map? I'm very invested in this map.
Yeah, I was just about to start drawing it right now.
Well, I also just wanted to see where it was.
I said it was like on the edge here, so I'm going to, here's our little cliff.
Oh, this was over a cliff? Oh, God.
It's like built inside of a cliff. I'm imagining like there are parts of it. I think like people have built like kind of like not quite a shrine, but something like it, like towards the base of it. And like they're like interconnecting like hallways like built into the cliff and such as well. Oh, I can actually draw the diamond thing that I was talking about. It's not quite to scale, but these are children drawing this map. So, bam,
going
there we
to
go.
Roll some stuff. All right. So it sort of starts pointing into the direction of the wasteland a little bit, which Bug is like visibly thrilled about. And so she's like, you know, oh, cool. It's in the wastes. And then like just starts marching very determinedly.
The wastes. Why do you call it the wastes? Hold on. Is there an adult? Can you get an adult? Can you call someone? Do you have
don't worry. They're probably real busy. It's best that we just handle this ourselves.
I have questions about the box, but I think
it keeps on hitting me that again I am impressing children to look for my war machine out in the desert.
Yeah.
Do you have water? Do you have food with you? How long has it been? I don't have a sense of time in here.
We can get water from the creek. We're not that far away.
Oh, and then we can follow the creek back home.
We could do that later. Listen, how many mechs have you ever seen? We're about to see another one that maybe nobody's seen yet. It could be real big. What's your favorite color? It could be that color. We don't know. We gotta find out.
Very big. And he's just like still walking the whole time though.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Bug perceptively elects not to mention the skeletons again also.
Oh, like this whole time it's just been, you've been editing out the skeletons and bodies just like, oh, there's a mech there.
Okay. Yeah.
Anything else right. around? No.
Okay. So, but yeah, so they start going into the desert, and it's definitely like we see, you know, at some point sort of heading north, a sign that says like, you know, sort of it's ramshackle and in a couple different languages, so slang like, this is not a place of honor, turn back now. And we don't mention the sign to the box, and we keep moving.
Of course.
That your trip is so uneventful so far.
Oh yeah, nothing to see here, Mr. Flixbox. We're doing great. And we eventually arrive at another, there's a couple more warning signs, like do not trespass signs. And then it gets to like this mech that's kind of on its side, a little bit almost in a sand dune, and like there's brambles and thorns growing on it. It's got a sort of segmented long body, almost like a worm, but like with a weird digging drill on the front of it.
Ooh.
And it's like, there are some really deep scratches along the sides of it. In just into the solid metal, like scratches running like a foot deep. Yeah, it looks real grody.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we here?
Yeah, this is the coolest one we've seen yet, I think.
Tell me about it. Defining features.
It's long. And it looks a little bit like those dirt bugs. What were they called? The ones in the book. Worms.
That word that you just said, it means nothing to me.
It's long and they go, it looks like a kind of animal that used to be a thing that would go in the dirt. And it has a like a cone on the front.
Oh,
it's kind of scratched up.
An excavator. Okay.
It looks like it's got like kind of dress. What is it called? Those thrusters? Is that what those are called again? The things that make it kind of like fly, not be on the ground, like along its sides.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I don't believe I've encountered this before personally, but I've heard stories of something similar. Is it in decent condition? Does it look, for lack of a better word, does it look safe? It's not precariously perched on top of some sort of cliff this time, is it?
Don't worry, no cliffs here. I think it looks nice.
It does look like it's been in a fight.
Yeah, it's all scratched up.
But it's not like torn apart, so I think it might have won that fight.
Okay. Hey, was this one of ours or one of yours?
This was not one of ours. We would never have made a creature that would... The Astrin design philosophy is a very interesting thing. I ask your Mr. Potter about this. If they are an educated person, they will have something at least on it. Do you have art? Are you allowed to study the backbone of humanity?
Yeah. No, we have art. I love art. Art's my favorite subject.
Good. Yeah. It's good.
It's actually how we fund a lot of our schools is we make art and then we sell them. But it's kind of like secret where like there's only one copy and you own that copy.
Oh.
And that's okay. We don't make a lot from it.
Because
all crayon drawings.
You don't you don't own the copy. You know, you get we give you like a slip of paper that says you own it. You know, and then we keep it in the place so that you can come and look at it whenever you want.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this a bit? Are you doing a bit right now? Are you making fun of the superior form of currency that is crypto? You know, it's a non-centralized form of currency. You may not know that word, but once you decentralize currency, you put power back in the hands of the people.
Famous putting power back in the hands of the people, the kingdom empire.
The kingdom of Astra.
We respect our leaders. The king is the king. However, you know, the people are free. Who says that you cannot have a monarch and still be free?
Nobody. Never mind.
Nobody. No, you're right. Mm-mm. We love the king here.
If I'm not mistaken, this sounds like a dune snake. I'm a bit surprised that you found my echo on Earth, because I never really fought on Earth, at least not frequently. I upper atmosphere, mostly.
How did you die?
Well, I remember that I was on a mission to intercept a very valuable piece of technology, an experimental prototype weaponized armor unit, something that would change the tide of the war. I was to hijack the unit and plant my own unit on the ship that was carrying it and destroy this mobile weapons research center. I would have sent out a warning, of course. I do not want to unnecessarily destroy scientists that might be turned to the Astrin cause. I suppose that is a bit moot at this point. They have likely already joined my people, or, you know, well, we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of warfare. But the point is that I was on this mission to hijack the prototype. I believe that I found the prototype and there was some issue. I couldn't get in. So I returned to my mech to send for further instructions. And I don't remember what happened after that. I was in the mech. I called for further instructions. And then I was here in the dark.
Have you been awake this whole time?
I've been awake for a very, very long time. As I said before, I don't have a sense of time in here, but I've heard many different things over time. I remember hearing a great metal tearing and crashing and scratching sound. Whatever I was inside was rended into pieces. I remember the sounds of falling. I remember animals and the sounds of infantry and the sounds of search teams and machinery, and then I remembered rocks and falling and the sounds of a quarry or some great slide of rocks coming down somewhere, just crashing against each other. And then the longest memory I have is water, just rushing past me. It was the same for a very, very long time. And then I remember a very loud child picking me up. So
I'm sorry.
No, I appreciated the break from the monotony. You know, I for untold years, it must have been, I repeated my designation over and over again. The words and the numbers were the only thing that carried meaning. But now this is not the case. And I am here, and soon I will not be here.
Yeah.
This has gotten a bit dark. Children, do you sing songs? Do you have music?
Wait. Do you all remember that song? You know, the one about the mech, the one, the song that's about the mech.
The one about the Astern mechs falling from the sky?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I think I know where that one is now. Wait, I think, Flix, I might know where your mech is.
I appreciate, thank you. If you can take me there, again, safely, I would appreciate it.
Man, no faith in us. We are so safe, all the time.
Always safe.
You are, I don't believe that any of you are, it's not that I distrust you, it's that you are, again, children. And perhaps things have changed since my time, but children were typically not allowed to go on grand journeys looking for war machines. Is this normal for you, or?
No, it's not, sir. Yeah, Box, no.
You do not have to call me, sir. I hold no rank over you.
That's true.
Let's go. We'll pick up the box and start running.
Well, hey there, family. Sorry to have to interrupt the program, but our producers over at Tales Yet Told has some copy for old Sunlight to read to you. Just a little something to help keep the lights on and the data streams flowing. So here we go. Prayers in the Static is brought to you by Tales Yet Told, and normally streams live at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time every other Friday over at church.tv/bardsandbrews. You can find more information about the streams and our other shows and projects over on our Twitter and Instagram page, at Tales Yet Told. Don't forget to let us know how we're doing by leaving us a review and a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. It's the best way to let people know that you like the show, so we can keep building our little family here. Also, Tales Yet Told is a part of the Be Gay Roll Dice Network, a group of fascinating queer creators making actual play content and telling stories for queer people by queer people. And yeah, that's it, I guess. I got an ad reel to play next, but after that, we're back on with the show. So I'll talk to you later, family, and stay safe. We're all we've got out here.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into 3 sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive hollow foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dork Spawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dork Spawn every Friday wherever you listen to...
Bored of D&D? Want to try something else? Why not check out Control Group? We test systems so you don't have to. Using our patented mini campaigns along with one-shots, we test how far you can stretch systems with our unique ideas and broad storytelling. Our mission statement is to give a voice to those not often heard in the TTRPG community. So whether it be a system you've never heard of, or our testers being people of color, people on the LGBTQIA+ spectrum, we want to make sure our stories are broad, vast, and told from different perspectives. So whether you want classic role-playing or just big goofs, come listen to us try out systems, some of which we've even made ourselves. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, or head over to controlgrouppod.com. That's CTRL, just like the key on your keyboard. There you can find the systems we test, along with easily accessible PDFs. So check us out if you're into Monster of the Week, Passion de los Passiones, A Song of Fire and Ice, Lasers and Feelings, Gunsight, Void Worlds, Wizards and Wands, Stranded, Interstitial, The Last Shonen, and so much more!
With that, we are entering the final mech, the last segment of this game. So let's get into this. So normally it would just be one person rolling on description and fate as always, but you know, to spice things up and get a bit, all three of the children will be rolling on this, with Irene and Nathan rolling for description and I will be rolling for fate. So we can do that roll now.
All right. Ooh. I rolled a 9.
I rolled a 2.
Oh, no, I'm obsessed with this. So it's the two battered halves, but they're both standing completely upright.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's really good.
You go ahead and you describe, and I'll pepper in some flavor after you set the scene.
Okay, so we know that it was the Astromech, right? So it's definitely humanoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of a almost cartoonishly proportioned, you know, like broad shoulder, narrowing triangular torso with like these imposing limbs. And like the posture is very like upright, and it is just like basically like something cleaved it through the middle. But then these two halves are like set up about 50 yards apart, just like facing as if they were connected, standing as if to be sort of like, I don't know, a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bright, like gleaming, probably the way that it looked when it was released, but like lots of chrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. Nathan, what's
like,
here?
Something that stood out to me was the phrase put out like a warning, and immediately is like to who leading to what or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining that we're walking and we know the general direction of where this thing is, as Accident is singing a song this whole time that, you know, I don't think Marcel knows. And we just come across what remains of a road. And like, ooh, maybe it's just like a dirt road. Maybe there's like cobblestone. Maybe it's even just like pavement. Like pavement that doesn't exist in society as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
All torn up and whatever. And it suddenly is going in the direction that we're going. We end up walking along this road for a while. And it, mm-hmm, being a very strange, surreal experience. Something alien to us. And then on either side of the road, we just see these two giant halves of an otherwise seemingly pristine mech that is just standing there in an eternal vigil over whatever this road was leading to. And we don't see anything. Like, the road ends shortly thereafter and then goes into forest or wasteland or wherever we are in this current biome. And yeah, that is all that remains.
I have a question. I know we're saying it's...
Oh, also, it has angel wings.
Oh, yes.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
And so my question is... Is it split, like, cleft in half? And so, like, the other, it's, like, the two, like split, yeah, down the middle, bisected, like, okay, cool, cool, mm-hmm, cool. That's very good. That's very good. Sorry, go for it.
I was saying, I was definitely imagining the cleft also as, like, it looks like something cut through it. It's definitely, like, there's almost some, yeah, snags right there.
Mm-hmm. And there would have been no, like, it's not wide enough that if it had just been accidentally hit in half, like, there wouldn't be enough there to even tell what it was. It would be like limbs and stuff, right? It'd be so shredded. But something seemingly precise sliced this thing in half, either on accident or on purpose. But like,
yeah,
it is strange.
Yeah. I rolled. Hold on. I'm not going to say what I rolled. I'm just going to describe the thing. I think as we're coming up to this what is essentially a monument at this point, unlike a lot of the other mechs that we've seen that have been kind of like tossed aside, kind of thrown, kind of like left there to rust over the years, unfunctioning and unmoving, something about this mech feels more cared for in a way. There are strings of banners or flags going between either side high up. It's dozens of them. We probably recognize like a few of like communities that like we're a part of are known from like the Devil's Hand, the Sheeple, but also of like other people and other communities and other groups posted up between the two halves. I think we see what looks like not graffiti, but, and I'm making this distinction just from a typical social viewpoint, but it's art. Graffiti is art, by the way. I'm just going to say that. But this is not an individual tagging something with their personal identity. This is a group of people who have intentionally created depictions of war on one side, and on the other side is what comes after. The rebuilding, the communities getting together, dancing and singing. And it is a place that feels like there are no people here now when we come upon it, but it feels like a place that people have and do come to celebrate, to come together, to share, not quite in the same political sense that they do with like the devil, the Green Devil's Hand, but like in a way that feels more festive and more communal and less pragmatic and utilitarian in a way. And that is what we have come across.
I think as you describe the mech, like as you begin to even say that we arrive, you notice that the Echo Drive has gone dark. It's been sort of like flickering a little bit, but you guys didn't give it too much mind because when it wasn't flickering, I still talked just fine and I still seemed to be like present. But I think that as you arrive here, this is the longest that you've seen the Echo Drive dark.
Hey, is he here again?
I am here. Are we? Was I gone long?
No, we're here. Are you okay?
I do not think so.
Oh no.
Well, we're at this mech. Is it good that you're not well? Should we leave? I think we should go. I think maybe we should go, no, you guys.
Just a bit further. If you tell me again, you said it was silver, right? Or chrome, you said, right?
Yeah.
And the wings, how... Describe the wings to me.
They're not quite, like, feathery. Almost like... they're, like, solid. Almost like... It's like a... I don't know, like a diamond-ish shape. It looks like it could have... I don't know. It kind of like angel wings, but, like, more...
Like if instead of feathers, they were made out of sword blades.
Yeah, that's right.
This sounds good. This is, I flew one much like this. Is it, tell me, is it still standing?
Yeah, it sure is.
It's standing, they are. All right.
They? There are two?
It's like the one and then it's like in half, but they're standing?
In half.
They are standing. It's half. They are standing.
Yeah, like right down the middle, like down the spine. Maybe
someone cleft you in twain, read that in a book somewhere.
That sounded very
sad. I'm very glad that you remembered that. That's very good. That does sound appropriate. I was cleft in the tearing noise, the sensation of ripping and metal parts grinding against each other. That's what that was. I was in there. Ah, well, I suppose that means I died in battle, an honorable death. Tell me, if it's not too much trouble, do you see... I hesitate to even ask, but do you see any flags or a body or even a scrap of cloth, anything?
There are flags.
There's a ton of flags on there, actually.
Yeah.
It's sort of a monument, it looks like.
Fitting one. Can you get me closer if it's safe?
Looks pretty safe. For real this time. No more lying about stuff being safe.
Yeah. No one's here. We can just kind of walk up to it.
So do you all... have plans after this, or when we return home, or
are you guys gonna go to a bar later? What's the vibe?
It was a strange turn of phrase, but what I mean is, you should not be wandering around giving strange old soldiers tours of the audio tours of the land. You should be at home with your families.
Probably.
And we've been gone for a few hours. Like, it's not like they're, you know, all going to be gone when we get back. They'll still be there.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry.
No, it's good to know that you are going to go home, that you will have that chance. Unfortunately, that was not the case for me, but such is life. If possible, if you are able to place the echo device near the foot of the, either side will work. There should be panels on both sides.
Okay. Find the panel. Place you gingerly by the panel.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, Ildarin, I have a confession to make. You are going to have to leave me here. I believe this is my place. This was my mech. This was the Stargazer.
That's a cool name.
It is a cool name. It's a very cool name. When they told me I was going to pilot the Stargazer, I said, that's a fucking cool name. Oh, excuse me. My name.
We all laugh. I think we all laugh.
Yeah, no. Man. Oh, whoa. I didn't know you were one of those cool adults.
I didn't know you were one of those cool boxes.
Listen, the boundary for cool, the barrier for cool seems very low with you. You should have seen my son. When Levity saw it, oh, he was so proud. Oh, and Luminous. Oh, I always knew Luminous would be the pilot. But Levity would be the scientist. He was a very smart boy, but he was not very active. His sister, however, well, I do not mean to imply that I have favorites. I know that is a sore spot for you, accident.
Especially with the one sibling named Favorite.
They were very good kids.
You asked earlier. I have a sister named Mabel.
Mabel, that's a beautiful name. Do you get along with Mabel?
She's okay. She's really loud, and she doesn't leave me alone when I want to be left alone. But she's all right.
That's good. If you can, make sure that you and Mabel take care of each other. You may fight at times, but family is family. And as long as that family is not disrespecting you, you should try to make it work. If they disrespect you, all bets are off. Cut them off. But before that, family is special. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And Bug. You said that you had some interest in the creepy, crawly things that used to exist here.
Yes.
You knew about those, what did you call them? Worm. Yes. It's a very good thing. I in theory, know that they are very good for the environment. They're not pollinators, but they help decompose things. They are part of the circle of life. If you can, you should try to study them more. Learn more about them. Perhaps become some sort of natural scientist. Astrobotanist, if you can. Or, I suppose, on Earth, it would just be a botanist. Accident. I want to tell you something, and I want you to listen very carefully, okay?
Yeah.
No matter what anyone tells you, you are not in accident. You belong here, you have a purpose, and you have value. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. And now, I'm going to ask that you all get as far, far away from this place as possible, okay? And when you get up to the ridge, when you get up somewhere safe, somewhere at least 1,000 meters away, I'm going to give you a show, okay? I'm going to show you what this old thing can do, if I can get this started up.
It's the Victory Monument! He's gonna bust it!
Are you gonna...
I will try not to burst the monument. Okay. You described a very beautiful place to me. I just...
Okay.
Okay.
Just promise not to bust it.
I promise not to bust it. I will try very hard not to bust it.
Okay.
Bye, I guess.
Yeah, wait. Will we be able to come back? Wait, can we come back and, like, hang out with you sometimes?
Well, you can come back, but I fear I will not be here. The truth is that I died a very long time ago. This echo is exactly that, an echo. I am not here. I am a memory of a man who died. It must be 70 some odd years by now. I have been kept here as a memory. But now that I am back here, now that I can tell the Echo Drive that I have returned to the mech, it's time for me to leave.
Well, you're our memory now.
That's very sweet, Em. Thank you.
I know you're, I don't know, whatever is happening, but you'll still be here. I guess. Yeah, go rest.
Thank you. I'm very, very tired. Now, go, move along. Scoot along and make sure you shout when you get to a safe distance.
Okay. We'll start.
Trudging, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
That's a good word for it.
I think as you trudge away, the half that the Echo Drive is in begins to not move, but begins to whir and click as if long neglected machinery is beginning to run a quick test and then stop and then attempt to start up and begin to gears grinding and hard drives clicking, and the machine begins to glow. And at first it's only the side that the Echo Drive is in, and then the other side, as if connected, perhaps still somehow knowing where its twin half is. And as that happens, I think the speakers of the Stargazer kick on, and a childish voice begins to read what appears to be a poem. And they say, "On foot, I had to cross the solar system before I found the first thread of my red dress. I sense myself already. Somewhere in space hangs my heart, shaking in the void. From it stream sparks into other intemperate hearts. Edith Sodergran." I think I wait until I get the confirmation from y'all that you are safe.
You're good.
Bye.
Take care of yourselves and live well. And I think with that, the mech wings begin to shift. And as they shift, the structure remains standing, balanced precariously. But as they shift, little flares begin to go off. Some of the flares don't launch from the wings. Most of the machinery and the mechanisms that hid these flares have long since fallen into such disrepair that the hatches don't open. But a few do, and enough do that when the flares launch off into the sky, it creates this beautiful red and white firework, for lack of a better term, and launches off lazily into space as flare after flare after flare goes off into the air, harmlessly detonating in a shower of sparks, not hot enough or intense enough to burn anything up. And when the firework show ends, the mech has gone dark, and you hear a last whispered "take care."
With that, that is the end of our session. Thank you all so much for being here with us for this amazing game. Truly cannot recommend it more. This has been an absolute blast. Again, we are playing Echo by, and again, please forgive me if I do not pronounce this correctly, Kai Pol. Which you can find them him over on Twitter at Tunkaipo, TunkaiPoh, and you can find other work of his over on his website at rolloverplaydead.com. Thank you all so much. Let's just one more time go through it. I'm going to go backwards this time. Nathan.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for showing up. I'm Nathan. I'm the DM for Reckless Attack, a 5e podcast all about frogs and friendship and grand adventures and good people trying their best in a world that is a little broken and a little unfair, and meeting other people to try and help do that with them. And we release every week. It's a very good show. We think it's a great time. We also do regular tabletop role-playing game creator interviews twice a month, where I sit down with someone. We just had Lexi McQueen, aka Black Girl Mage, who was an absolute delight, and highly recommend that. But otherwise, find us on the socials, mostly Twitter is where we live, reckless_attack, where we just tweet all the time about mostly frogs and about many other good things.
Amazing. How about you, Irene?
I'm Irene. I make videos on TikTok about role-playing games and sometimes make games on Itch. Both of those usernames are SpaceJob, and I'm also on Twitter as SpaceJobRPG.
Ibrahim?
Hello, my name is Ibrahim. You can find me on the internet anywhere that I am. And those places are primarily on TikTok at Ibrahim_MA, which I am pasting in the chat right now. You can also find me very, very infrequently here on Twitch at Ibrahim_MA. So that's me.
Awesome. And of course, I have been one of your hosts, Kendrick or Kendo, whichever you prefer. You can find me everywhere on the internet at Kendo Makes Films. You can also find my actual play podcast, which is tangentially related to this, at Tales Yet Told on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find it everywhere you get your podcasts. But please, most importantly, don't forget to go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, and get enough sleep, and take care of yourself. Because self-care is very important, especially in the days that we're living in right now. And, you know, just don't forget to love yourself like we love you. And goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Be gay. Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.